All right, take two.
I think we're live.
I don't know. Last time that happened, I wasn't even sure it did shut down. It said it did. Who cares? Anyway, we're here. Thank you guys for hanging out. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Bobby Manning at the Garden hanging out here. Jimmy Toscano
at the homeschool headquarters right now.
He's actually at homeschool right now.
Quick little look at the classroom. You can see my locker in the back, actually, if you look closely.
Jimmy, what do I have here, by the way?
Oh, it's a Johnny bottle top tonight.
But
I actually went can, so you don't have to deal with it. So
Bobby's got work to do. I'm going to start with him, okay?
We're gonna have the twist offs. Yeah.
You're right. Fair enough. We're going to start with Bobby's talk, Bobby's take on the game.
Bobby Turtleneck.
Bobby Turtleneck talk.
Now.
Talk now.
Good game plan tonight. You knew Luka was going to come in. He's been ridiculous this season, and no one was going to be able to stop him individually in the Celtics lineup, especially the way they've been defending this year. I thought Tatum forced him to travel early on a good stop, but overall he was looking for Hauser, he was looking for White, he was looking for Horford, and he was going to get those matchups. Celtics switched. They let him attack. They let him cook Hauser like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And they live with it. And everybody else, I mean, Christian Wood had a big game. They kind of live with him rolling too. And at the end of the game, they just overpowered that Dallas offense, which was good. But their offense was great. 14-24 start from three. I guess they're just the Warriors. They're just going to keep hitting threes forever, keep scoring 120 points.
I mean
hitting them at a high rate.
But I'm going to dispute that.
Yeah, 50%.
I will say the one thing that stood out, and again, this is one of those classic games. You know, the Celtics played a lot of them this year. They come in, they blow somebody's doors off. You got 30 from each, Brown and Tatum. You see the balance. They're swinging the ball great, hitting their open shots. First half is the only thing that mattered to me because they put the game away. Second half, they let the Mavericks creep in a little bit, but the urgency just wasn't there. So
it's the NBA, you know.
Fool's gold comeback. That stuff means nothing. But clearly an emphasis on not shooting as many threes. I think two of their first 12 attempts or 13 attempts were from three. I think the other night it was the opposite. It was 10 of their first 12 were from three. So there was more of an emphasis on not doing that. Tatum got to the foul line a few times early. They got some buckets. Jaylen drove to the basket. And the threes that they got were quality, whereas the other night I really felt like they were just jacking first opportunity. Only person who took bad threes in the first half was Hauser. He was so excited to get the ball. The second he got it, he just puked it up without even really having his feet set. But everybody else was in rhythm. Beautiful, working for those shots, working it around, swinging to the open guy and getting the good look. So no objection. And honestly, their total was lower than what their average is. So they weren't super reliant on it tonight, which is great.
Yeah, I'm saying they hit 50%.
No, you're right. They're back to hitting them. And Jimmy and I will play the whole make-miss league thing. They're 50 from three, and they were 52 for the game. Obviously, when you're knocking down your shots, but the quality of shots and the balance was so much better than it's been some other games, even games that they've won when they've launched 45, 53s.
Yeah, I mean, this is getting specific now, but we're talking about threes. Tatum didn't really have a great shooting night, especially from 3-point, but went to the line 15 times. I mean, that's the mark of an MVP, of a superstar. Gets what he wants, is aggressive. I know he got fouled on a three, so three of those are from a 3-pointer, but point being, he was in aggressive mode. Even like you saw a couple floaters tonight. I liked what he gave them, and not even to mention the defensive side of things. And I tweeted, I had like two tweets tonight, and one of them was just the symbolic block at the end of the game on Luka, just to say, you know what, not tonight, bud. You're gonna get yours. But
he was screaming a little bit after that one too. Was that toward Luka or toward the Celtics bench? I couldn't tell.
It was just a barbaric.
Yeah,
it was a yelp. You know.
Yeah, it was just fired up. You know, that was the dagger right there. You know, and then Tatum and then Brown to go down and hit the three to really seal the deal. That was like the symbolic play of the game for me because Luka's gonna get his, and no one's gonna argue how awesome he is in the offensive end. But it was only him tonight, really. And Tatum does it on both ends, and Luka right now isn't, or he just doesn't have the help to, the Celtics are obviously, and I know it's a little bit helter-skelter with them on defense, but I think we'd all agree that, as a team, and especially Tatum individually, has taken strides on the defensive end. So I thought that play really spoke volumes about it. Yeah, just a good all-around effort. It's hard to really put too much into the second half because I will say this. I mean, in a game like – in a league like the NBA, it's hard to hold on to those types of leads for the length of the game. And they did that. You know, they went up big, double digits, and aside from it, I think when it got to 9 or 8, you know, kind of – I don't think
– Yeah, it got to 9 there at the end, yeah.
People weren't too worried about it at that point. But, I mean, point I'm trying to make is that they were able to hold on to that double-digit lead for the majority of the game, which – you know, it's tough to do in today's NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it cut in half. So you don't get worried in that spot. But the key is they answer. And they've done this in a handful of games this year. I think of Chicago. I think the New Orleans game was like that, I believe. There's been a handful where the other team's racing back the entire second half. And the Celtics just hold them off with key basket after key basket. That Tatum dive off of Smart's pass, getting it to Horford in the corner, I think, was right after it got to 9. That was a great play. Smart had 9 assists. Ton of great plays from him in this one, bouncing back from that Chicago game. So
Smart looked good, yeah.
The chat can calm down about him after a rough showing on Monday. And I thought Brogdon had some stretches.
How about Horford, too?
Horford bounces back from 0-9. Brogdon probably has his best game since he's come back from injury in this one.
No, man, he shot 6 or 7 3 the other night, 24 points. He was amazing. He was the only good player.
He's had a few, so he's getting back to getting his feet under him. It's a good team effort overall. And Jaylen Brown, let's give him some credit, getting in control and just having a phenomenal game around the basket.
Yeah, he was great. The finishing with the left is elite, you know, and that's – you want to talk about things to his arsenal. I think he's been able to do that, but he just uses it so well. He uses his body around the rim really well there.
Ball handling was solid today, too.
Ball handling was great. And I do think, like, sometimes, you know, there's early Jaylen. You want to talk about some maturity, and, yeah, I'll criticize Jaylen for I don't think taking leaps and bounds in his game, but I do think he's gotten certainly more clever. I'm just talking the last year or two. He's made leaps and bounds over where he was in year one and two. He's amazing where he's at right now. He's an all-star player, but he's his finishing around the rim. I do think a lot of times he was trying to just go up and yoke it sometimes on some people, but he has a couple things that he does extremely well now. Goes in strong, know he's going to try draw the contact, absorb the contact, and be able to hang in the air and still finish. And then he's got that great shift to the left and use his body to keep the defender away from him and score. I mean, it's really nifty, and he gets to the basket so fast, and he just finishes quick before you even have a chance to set yourself. So when he's attacking like that, he plays a game like that, it's great. Back to Brogdon, one thing I thought they made a point on the broadcast, and it is fair to say, you know, we don't have the benefit of seeing him night in, night out. But
Brogdon,
meaning prior to this season, you know, you know, we didn't have a chance to get to see him all the time.
Hey, Jimmy's got the Pacers pass.
Yeah. Speak for yourself, bud.
No, but one thing they mentioned in the broadcast was that he looks as fit as he's been
in the past
few years. And I think that that's a fair assessment, even from the limited times that we've seen him. And again, we're not watching him nightly, and the Pacers aren't getting a lot of national television sort of games. He really does look fit and spry and like herky-jerky. First game back from injury. He was a tad slow, meaning he just looked cautious. And last couple of games, he's just looked really twitchy and quick.
He never settles.
That
offensive rebound, he got it. Grant had the initial one, and he got it, I think, with time ticking out in the first half there, maybe first quarter. He gets it from mid-range. He could have just tossed up that 15-footer. Instead, he just started attacking the interior, dribbling around a little bit, and waiting for Brown to come in with that left-handed finish. I love that. That might have been my favorite play of the game. Just the way that this team scraps out points out of every possession. Offensive rebounds. Tatum had a pair of putbacks following Brown. You talk about how aggressive Brown was as a finisher in this game and in transition. They just go to the basket again and again and again. And one of you mentioned the free throws with Tatum. He had 11 in that first half, like it was nothing. Yeah. So they're just living around the rim. I think at one point in that first quarter, the Celtics were outscoring the Mavericks' total points with points in the paint. So they're just super aggressive. They keep the ball popping. Tatum deserves more assists than he gets because he's initiating so many of these sets. Smart ends up with them on those secondary plays. And you got great finishers everywhere. This offense, like you've talked about it, John. There's so many options. There's so many creators. There's so many shooters. they're not going to come back down to earth. Like, they're just going to keep flowing up here. And it's crazy because the Kings are coming in on Friday, who've just been at that level, and you're going to have, like, this Super Bowl of offense on Friday night. It's going to be epic.
Yeah. Question for you.
My guy Sabonis coming to town.
Yes. Question for you guys. Derek White starting, Grant not starting. Is this going to be a matchup specific sort of switcheroo with Ime? What do you think? All right, the Guard Report, as always, is brought to you by our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs, from football and basketball this season. You will always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's a terrific deal. Just use that promo code CLNS50. Again, betonline.ag, you get a 50% welcome bonus with your initial deposit. Use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
I think White's the primary guy. They saw some matchups they liked and squeezed Grant.
But you went away from it, and it looked like they settled in on Grant for a bit.
When I asked him about that, he said he liked like five or six matchups there where they liked Grant, but ultimately White was going to come back, and he did tonight. The lineup with White in there, much better than the Grant ones. I think Grant's like a plus two with those starters, and the White lineup entering this game was about plus 14. So it's a better look. The defenses are pretty close. We liked how they looked defensively with Grant in there with that group. But overall, they were pretty good in this one too, for that first half at least, before, you know, the slippage, whatever, taking the foot off the gas in the second half started. So I like it. We see White playing better with them. He starts 3 of 4 from three. He slipped a little bit in the second half himself, just like everybody. But overall, I like him out there. I feel like he feels more empowered. He can be a secondary playmaker. He can be a screener with that group. That was one of my favorite moves Joe's made as coach so far, was putting him in the starting lineup. So, Grant wasn't great tonight either. So I think he should get settled back in with that second unit, and they should roll with that group.
I like it too. I don't know. I do think that they could get away with it tonight. Dallas doesn't play very big. I mean, they have Powell in that starting lineup, and that's really about it for size. I mean, unless you're worried about JaVale McGee coming in and running the show. But I do like White in that lineup. I think he just allows the offense to do more. And obviously we know what he can do in the defensive end. I love Brogdon being just the first guard off the bench. I think Grant's, again, I know a lot of people think Grant's a $20 million player. I don't know. I don't see it. I think he's much more suited for a sixth or seventh guy, and he should get paid accordingly that way. When Rob comes back, though, and apparently according to Woj, it's going to happen before Christmas. According to Sherrod, though, it might be a little bit sooner. So I'm going to stick with my guy Sherrod and hope that he comes back sooner than a month. But I think when Rob comes back, I don't know how that's going to change what Missoula decides to do, if Rob's going to come off the bench and just play limited minutes for a bit, or if they're going to put him in the starting lineup and play limited minutes. I don't know.
I feel like people think it's going to be double big, Jimmy, and I wonder what that's going to do to the offense.
I don't see it. I can't see Joe going back to double big.
If it can be double big, then they should have Grant in there.
I think we've learned enough about him as a coach to know what he wants and see the look. I mean, don't throw Grant at center.
Al's not even barely a big anymore, though, if we really think about it.
You're right. But at the end of the day, who are the three worst three-point shooters statistically on the Celtics right now, Jimmy?
Three worst three-point shooters in the Celtics?
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me.
Smart,
Tatum, Brown.
Brown, Tatum. Okay. Yeah. And you're going to throw Rob in that lineup right there with Al, while he's shooting 41%. So all of a sudden, the moving around and shoot and all of that stuff there really goes you're talking about taking out 20% of your lineup with one person and another person who can knock down shots and allow you to play this offense that really moves. If you throw two bigs out there and one of them is Rob to start, you're really messing with that flow. So I do not want to start both of those guys. I really don't. I want to keep shooters out there as much as possible.
I'll be surprised if they go with that look. Although
I'm not gonna act like Tatum and Brown are like liabilities when it comes to shooting, are we?
It's they're not liabilities. You want them to settle down the defense, right?
They're not
a little bit.
You want them. You don't want to make it harder on them to score by placing an even greater burden on them by removing the space, tightening things up, and creating like some of the environments that you had last year where it was a bit of a slog. And it was a bit of a slog, and a lot of that's not on those guys. They're just it's easier to trap and it's easier to oversell on those guys when there's just fewer options out there, and that's my fear.
It's going to be interesting because that lineup actually had like a much better offensive rating.
Well, what a 180 we've done. We want White to stay in the lineup to keep the floor open.
Yeah.
No, it's strange, right? It's crazy.
Just a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to go hit the locker room. I'll be back though. I promise. I'll be.
We probably won't be.
We might not be. I got a lot of cooking to do, my man.
All right. Now you guys show some off on the show. So save some time for that.
We'll see. I got a couple of pictures.
Text us, Bobby. We might. All right. Who knows?
All right.
Be quick.
We do want to tell you guys while we have this opportunity, as Bobby is taking a powder right now, going to the locker room.
Somebody asked where the paper towels are.
What's that? Are you kidding?
Somebody asked where the paper towel. People who are familiar with the show know that I've spent many episodes down in the homeschool dungeon.
Yeah.
And I got a different angle tonight because of the lighting issues that I've been having. That's another question. That's another thing going on. The lighting's a little off. I get it, everybody. I'm home for the holidays. Let's just deal with it here.
Let's deal with it.
Proceed.
We want to tell you about one of our sponsors, number one mental wellness app, Calm. Go to calm.com and you get such a deal. 40% off a premium subscription. Go get yourself some Calm, whether it's their sleep stories or nature sounds or curated music tracks. They're updated weekly, especially if you get the premium subscription, which you can get, as we said, 40% off here.
Premium.
It's good stuff. It's good for your mind. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body. Gets you the rest and relaxation that you need to get yourself right. Stressful time of year for a lot of people, and the holidays, everything's crazy. You really need to be able to kind of wind yourself down. If you haven't tried it, it's worth it. And it, like I said, this is a phenomenal deal. So go check it out. Once again, calm.com/garden, receive a 40% off your premium subscription right now and get your phenomenal t-shirt as well. The orders are pouring in and I love it. So make sure you go get it. You get a phenomenal t-shirt as well. DM me.
Are they pouring in? Love it. I love that.
They are. A lot of athletic greens too, which is great. A lot of people trying. Again, I love this stuff that I love being able to market stuff that's good for your health. And that's what we have going on right now.
I'll say one other thing about Calm before we move on.
Yep.
You mentioned it's the holidays, but for everybody going home and about to have Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, there's going to be some – shout out Joe Sway. There's going to be some uncomfortable conversations going around the Thanksgiving table. You might need a little mental come down, and tomorrow might be the day where you pull the trigger on Calm, just lying in bed, just wondering where it all – like what the heck just happened at the dinner table. Calm.com is there to help you out. So calm.com/garden, 40% off. Just move right on from that.
Or and also you're talking about gifting stuff to people. Gift somebody a year subscription to Calm, okay? Honestly.
Yeah. A little like passive aggressive way to say, "Hey bud, like
chill out, buddy."
Yeah, like take it down a few.
Take it down.
Try this.
Try this out. It's better for you and me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't Yeah, help me help you.
Help me. Try some comma, man. So you can absolutely gift one of these as well. And actually, it's a pretty good gift subscription. It's a pretty good gift, especially if you're having a tough time figuring it out. I actually think Athletic Greens is a really good gift for somebody. You're going to start things off, and we'll talk about Athletic Greens later. Health conscious, beginning of the year, New Year's resolution. So get yourself right. Check out Calm. Back to this game, Jimmy. This is one of those games. And again, just pointing out what the announcers were saying, where you just see such a disparity game, you know, and you know, between a real team and like a wannabe sort of team.
You can tell that. Yeah.
You saw it a couple times last week too, where they drilled Atlanta, you know, a couple weeks ago, they drilled Denver. Obviously you had the letdown against Chicago, but for the most part, you're seeing teams come in who are like, where do we stand in the pecking order of things? And then the Celtics are like much, much, much lower than
we are. Yeah. You don't stand
and, like,
anyway.
Celtics have been here before, right? Looking up, and last year's not an example of it, but a couple of years, you know, even when they were in contention, you always knew that team's hard to beat, you know, like, They can't do that. You'd play a close game against Milwaukee, you'd be like, I don't know that we can beat those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Celtics are those guys in that conversation now. And it's pretty clear when other teams come in, they're just like, oh my God, they're just overwhelmed by them. And this was an example of it. Dallas was just completely overwhelmed by what the Celtics were doing. It was just like getting in the ring with somebody and just getting punched in the face like 75 times before you even know, you know, that the fight started. And that's what tonight was.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for some teams. And I don't think anyone thinks Dallas is on the Celtics level. But they are always a competitive team.
But they made the conference finals last year. And obviously they lost a player for nothing, which hurts them. But still, yeah.
Right. And they have one of the best players in the league and all that stuff. And they can win on any given night. I think Dinwiddie's a really underrated player. I always thought that he'd be a great player that Celtics could try to snag. But it just didn't work out. But, Dallas came in tonight and they were overwhelmed. I think the Celtics depth, and again, I say depth because I know the bench didn't do a whole lot, but just even 1 through 5, like that level of depth, you know, it felt like Dallas couldn't do anything without Luka being involved tonight. And that's probably typically pretty true about who they are. I mean, they're not a team that is star studded, at least right now. They have been in previous seasons, but Celtics are that team. I think at halftime of the ESPN broadcast, Stephen A. Smith said, you know, there, you know, the East goes through the Celtics, you know, and I think Doris Burke and Mike Breen were trying to keep it interesting during the broadcast because I think everybody wanted it to be a closer game, but it was just the Celtics were not going to let that happen. This was just another example of it. And yeah, you're going to get
they also did say this, it's fair to say. Yeah.
He did. He did say that. He said that so that he could criticize the Nets. That's an old trick. You pump up somebody so you can tear them down. That's what Steve
these guys do. Are not who thought they were going to be.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I tell you what.
I am disappointed in Kevin Durant.
Shame on you, Kyrie Irving. That's going to happen at some point. But the Celtics are that team right now.
Who said Doris hates the C's? Doris loves the C's. Oh, my God.
She doesn't hate the C's. She knows everything about what's going on around town within the organization. She does not hate the C's. She does not hate the C's. Yeah. I don't know who said that's blasphemy. Kick him out. Kick him off the.
She literally is in love with Robert Williams. She's like, I can't take my eyes off that guy. She can't. She's like, he's just so captivating. I come here and all I can do is watch Robert Williams.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She had the story about like Time Lord too, I think a year or so ago and how the nickname came about. Anyways. I mean, what else can you say? It was just good performance top to bottom. I think that these guys are in a good place right now, you know, health wise, they're all in a good place, knock on wood, but they're all playing, shooting at a high clip, playing together, team basketball, the whole nine. So it's hard to sit here and criticize. I know that they're going to have a clunker here and there, like against the Bulls. They all admitted, you know, to their credit after the game, the Bulls came out the way they needed to come out. The Bulls came out with a purpose. They came out aggressive. You know, they came out saying, you know what, we know that, you know, this is the team with the target on their backs and we're going to shoot first. And they did. Mavericks tonight, aside from Luka, didn't really have much going in their favor. Didn't really have much to offer in order to stop the Celtics. So
no, man, it's the Luka show.
Since we're like 4.5, I think they were when Tatum was announced in, I think the Celtics moved from like 4.5 to 6-point favorites. Nobody thought the Mavs were gonna win this game, but I don't think they expected it to be a 20-plus-point game for a chunk of it. And that's a credit to Boston just getting hot quickly.
Yeah, Luka. I mean, Rob stuff. I think it's fair. Some people are saying here. You see both sides of it. Some people are worried. You insert him into the starting lineup. Maybe he's better off the bench. I do think it's a little insane to think that if Robert Williams does come back fully healthy, that he wouldn't be a starter. But I could see him easing his way in. Really, our conversation here was more about whether they would go double big like Ime did last year because right. They love that defensive lineup so much. And again, this team's identity is so different right now. That's what I find a little bit difficult. Sherrod obviously popped on the show a week or so ago and said, I know some stuff. I know a few things and it could be sooner than later. So again, You know, there are birds chirping right now.
John, you got some birds chirping too. They're chirping. No, but they're chirping. That's
I've got birds chirping as well, but I'm not running with it. But there are people who are pretty optimistic and bullish that this is happening, as Sherrod put it, sooner than later. So I am curious how soon that is. One of these days, someone's going to show up and he's just going to be practicing in full. And it's going to be like, what?
Be jumping through the roof again.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there.
But there's no, the beauty of it is there's no panic. There's no reason to rush him back. You know, there's no need for him to play 30 minutes when he comes back, and he won't, you know, he'll come back. I certainly don't think when he comes back, Al playing less is big, right, Jimmy? Huge. Oh, it's absolutely huge. I don't know what Al ended up playing tonight, but it was good to see. He played 35 tonight. Like,
stop.
You want to keep that below 30, don't you? Like, every single game, you should be like upper 20s.
Yeah.
And but that goes back to something that Bobby said earlier tonight in the text. You know, no Von Leh, no Cornette, no Griffin tonight. I mean, it felt like there were opportunities for those guys to maybe spell them for a few minutes. I mean, with a double-digit 15, 20-plus point lead, but just nothing out of them tonight. So I don't really have an explanation for why that is. I guess that, you know, Joe's not really concerned about the minutes, but, you know, 36 from Tatum, 35 from Brown, 35 from Horford in a game that they were up 15 plus for, gosh, a heck of a lot of it. And I know that Mavericks can score quickly because they have, you know, a couple guys, Dinwiddie, Luka, and you know, Finney Smith there can, you know, are very talented players. But you wonder if, you hope, I guess, is that you don't run these guys into the ground too early on in the season, you know?
Yeah. One thing I mentioned here in the chat, which I think is fair, Luka, this is another thing brought up on the broadcast, which is pretty interesting. You see the stats always at the end of the day, and he's like kind of, you know, year in, year out, he's threatening a triple-double. He's fifth in the league in assists. You know, he gets rebounds. He scores from all over the place. His toughest one-on-one matchup up there. But they mentioned on the broadcast, is he becoming the modern-day James Harden, which is to say it looks good. The stats are there. But
is it working?
He dribbles so friggin' much. And he has the ball in his hands so much because he is the toughest cover in the league, much like Harden was during those prime years where he was scoring 35 and he was a total cheat code and getting to the line and hitting pull-ups. But Luka's such a tough cover.
Luka's 23, though.
All I'm saying is,
like, Harden wasn't doing that until, like, what?
No. What I'm saying is the question is, like, he's amazing and he's probably the MVP or an MVP candidate, obviously, year in, year out. I don't think he's going to be out of the top three or four conversation for the next decade or more. But does he suck to play with in the sense of, like, does he take teammates out of it? Are they standing around watching the Luka show? He dribbles forever. He always has the ball in his hands. It's one of the things when we talked about the other day, who do you like? I mean, it's impossible not to like Luka because he impacts the game so profoundly on almost every possession. Everything runs through him. But is that keeping people from developing? Is that, you know, not great to play? You know, Jalen Brunson left for more opportunity to go touch the ball more, I guess, because he's just not touching it enough there. These are fair points being made here, which is like if a ball dominant player like that, just as great as he is and really as much of a force as he is one on one, a drag to play with.
It's fair. I mean, it is his style. I mean, it's tough because, like, who else do you want to have the ball in your hands, right? So I get that half of it. But if it's going to become stagnant and then the possessions are going to become, you know, let's just watch Luka do what he does and they end up, you know, whatever, a few games over 500 at the end of the year, then, yeah, clearly that's not the recipe for success. But isn't that on the front office to get guys that can complement him? And you know, if it's a high-low type game type, you know, like a Shaq Kobe type thing where you need a dominant big in there and that type of style, then that's one thing. But obviously Luka does play hero ball. There are a few players in the league that do, and I think Harden's a good comparison. I think Luka's attitude is a lot better than Harden's is, and I don't think that players are like, I don't think his teammates don't like playing with him. I mean, I haven't gotten that impression, but
It's not like, just whether or not they're neutralized a little bit, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think Dinwiddie could probably do more. I think Christian Wood's obviously a super talented player, and I don't know what, you know, he had a great night tonight too. So, but
What I don't know is, like, you know, I'll use this for an example, and it's not totally fair, but I remember that OKC team when Russ was, like, you know, putting up crazy stats and triple doubles, and everyone's like, look who he's playing.
Hate Russ.
But I'm saying, everyone was saying at the time, look who he's playing with. You know who he was playing with? Oladipo, Sabonis, you know, like guys who the second they left there, stars. And yes, there's earlier in their careers and it didn't matter. But I was like, look at these losers, friggin' all-stars right there, that people that were completely discounted because they looked like bums next to them. 1 year later, each of them is a bona fide star at their new destination. So I'm not saying these guys exist in Dallas, but a player like that can just block out the sun a little bit with the way that they play. Westbrook, Harden, and now Luka, because it just, they're just the center of the universe. Everything revolves around them, as good as they are. You know, that's that.
I mean, I don't know. Like, could he do more on the playmaking side of things? Because obviously he's getting doubled at times and he's commanding a ton of attention. So there is that aspect of it. I think what more people are concerned about is his defense, though. I mean, I think that's when you talk about Luka, I think what's keeping him from being more of a bona fide overall number one player in the league would be what he doesn't give them on the defensive end. And I can see maybe how a teammate would be frustrated by that if he's, you know, taking up 20 out of the 24 minutes in the shot clock, putting up a shot, and then, I'm not going to say a liability, but it's just not cutting it on the other end of the floor. I would be frustrated, I think, as a teammate on you know, that side of it. But I don't know. He's Luka. It's hard to...
Yeah, and Brunson's looked good in New York. It's hard to say no. It's an interesting date, you know, because his greatness is so obvious, but at the same time, you wonder. You know, one argument is he carried them to the single-handedly carried in the Western Conference Finals. The other is, you know, can he play? Can he make the people around him truly better if they're just standing around watching him and waiting for his passes? And again, that one of the reason, like, why Russ in that triple double year, you know, everyone else sucked, is because they were so not used to getting the ball and, like, you know, they didn't know what to do with it. You know, what? Yeah, what do I do? Shoot me?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we can get it right back.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out. And anybody, if you run into anybody from the Garden Report, you can absolutely come up and chat with us, hang out. I know Bobby and Joe Sway are constantly approached at Celtics games. You know, we love talking with you guys. We haven't done as much interactive stuff. Oh, all the time. Those guys are celebrities. But I do want to give a shout out to our guy Taylor, who ran into me at the BSC in Wellesley, gave a shout out, says he's a loyal watcher. So I did want to say, Taylor, what's up, Taylor? Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for watching.
Was that your way of telling people that you go to the gym here and there?
He, as you said, he helped me put up 135 a couple times. Yeah, I got 135 trapped on my neck, and Taylor came in there and rescued me.
Yeah, shout out Taylor for that.
After three reps, yeah, that was it. No, I also saw my man Capitasta there.
No kidding.
Yeah,
he still puts up the iron, huh?
Oh man, he's a friggin' rock. Best producer in Boston, but for, you know, 15 years running. Not even close.
A lot of people don't know that he forms a lot of their opinions and they don't even know it.
He does.
Just by the way he shapes the news.
He does. He's that guy.
That's what a good producer does.
He's that guy. I saw Cap there and Taylor. So yeah, shout out Taylor. Thanks, buddy, for reaching out. We want to tell you guys a couple other things, talking about reaching out, talking to us. Discord, always a place you can do that. You can join our Discord server now, clnsmedia.com/discord, 1,000 strong, more than that, actually. In there, pretty good community. People talk, hang out, chat. There'll be some changes coming to the overall Discord. Kind of vibe of it, but some changes for the better, some new mods, some very specific, more curated conversation. And we'll have some planned times where members of the Garden Report are popping in during the week to be able to chat with you guys. We'll do that kind of stage thing where you can jump on and talk to us as well. So if you're interested in doing that, sign up. Fun place to hang out, pop in, pop out. People are in there during the game, after games, you know, you know, some people are there all day long. Last thing I want to tell you about our other sponsor, Athletic Greens. And we got AG1. a new sponsor coming next week. So we got a plug here with the other guys. But you all know about Athletic Greens. It's been our sponsor here for the last few months. Terrific product we all use on the Garden Report. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, help you start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, all the good stuff. And the best thing is you just take it and you're done and you don't have to worry about anything else. Lifestyle friendly, diet friendly. You know, good for sleep quality and recovery, as we mentioned with our other product, Calm. You know, you take these things in tandem, Calm at night, AG1 in the day. You're going to feel better about yourself, I promise. Less than $3 a day if you do it, which is honestly cheaper than a coffee. So it's really not that much money.
It really is.
Thousands of five-star reviews recommended by athletes, celebrities, healthcare professionals. So again, you tell me now what.
No, I want to let everyone, I tossed the travel pack in my bag today on my way home. I'm going to need it more tomorrow than any day of the year. I'm going to have a horrible day for my body tomorrow.
Yeah.
But as long as I can start it off on the right note with a little AG1, then, you know, Jesus take the wheel, you know, from that point on, I've done my due diligence. I've done everything I can.
Yeah. So go get it. Time to reclaim your health. Arm your immune system. One scoop, cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, we at the Garden Report, along with Athletic Greens, are going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, as Jimmy just mentioned, that you can take with you on the go. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/garden. Again, athleticgreens.com/garden. Take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So Jimmy, we're not at the food portion of our conversation yet.
Not quite. No.
People asking for potato salad. No, we don't have that.
No. That's not a Thanksgiving. That's like barbecue. That's like 4th of July, potato salad.
Yeah. I'll eat anything, though. I want to start going non-traditional. Yeah, I'm actually bored by Thanksgiving food in general.
You got to get a little creative if you can.
So you got to start doing something funky. I might make like a chicken parm next year and just add something in there. Yeah, I like it. You know what I love? I love when you do it at like somebody's house who's like, you know, something, you know, Greek, Italian, whatever, and they'll do the traditional thing, but then they'll also have a whole friggin' fleet of other things there. That's good important stuff.
So I go around the world on these days.
I may start Greeking it up a little bit next year. I'll make Greek contributions.
What would that even mean? Like, what would that even entail?
I can make a spinach pie. I can make all of the classics. I can make moussaka. I can make pasticcio. I can make stuffed grape leaves. All of those types of things. Other things that you could do, like a lima bean, those big, you know, what
like
are
a crepe.
Called? Gigantes. These like an awesome bean dish. You could do some good stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I can do all of that.
We're not at the food portion yet, though.
We're not, but I'm starting to think about it. Yeah.
You know what I just saw?
What?
BJ Novak and Mindy Kaling were sitting courtside at the Celtics game tonight.
Yeah?
What's going on there? The old office, you know, the office crew there.
Newton South in the house.
Newton South.
Yep.
So that was just a little fun fact that I saw that I thought people might want to know.
Yeah.
That's what we do here on the show.
Yeah, that's what we do here on the show. We will hang out a little bit longer. We'll wait for Josue and Bobby to circle back around, but it is...
Josue in the building?
I don't even know. That's a good question. Quiet.
I actually don't know either. I do not know. What about Sherrod? Sherrod in the building?
Sherrod might have his own stuff going on too, so we might wrap this up in a few minutes here. We might be at the food portion of it, Jimmy. What's your secret? What's your thing you're making today?
No, I don't have any big secrets. I really don't.
No?
I have two things that I'm cooking up. Always do a pumpkin bread. Always do an unbelievable pumpkin bread. Top bread for me. And I know that like it's more of a pastry type of a bread, but you can do butter on it. You can do it cold. You can do it warm. You can do cream cheese. You can do strawberry cream cheese.
Yep.
They can't stop you from from getting pumpkin bread and getting strawberry cream cheese and just putting them together. They can't stop you from doing that.
Can't stop you.
So that's one thing that's happened. The other thing I'm doing this year that I haven't done before, it's a butternut squash ravioli with a brown butter sauce and a candy pecan crumb topping. And
what?
It's a butternut squash ravioli with a brown butter sauce. Not very, doesn't take too
long. I love it. I love this. With
a candy pecan crumbled topping. And that's going to be more of an appetizer because I feel like it would steal the show at dinner. And I don't want it to be all about me. It's going to go around. Obviously, it's meant to be eaten warm. But those taste so good where you can kind of just eat them cold, almost like a pasta salad type thing. It's something to be, people are going to be very, very happy with it tomorrow. I'm pretty
excited. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
What about you? I know you got like 12 things.
It's some of it is simple. We have three pies, but they're very basic pies, a cherry pie, an apple pie and a pumpkin pie. My daughter loves
pie. You're a pie guy. Everyone. You're a pie guy.
My daughter loves baking. So that's our thing we do.
That's
together.
Your bond. Yeah, that's your bond.
It's what she likes doing. So let me see.
I'll be honest. I'm more likely to just buy a pie because I know I won't cook it as good as
these are the pies.
Wow. Okay. That's your pie?
That's the cherry pie. And then we made the apple in the back.
That's pretty unbelievable. That one in the front there.
Yeah. The lattice crust. I like
you
those.
Really went, you really went, over, under, over, under.
Let's that's fun. It's easier than it looks. We made
how's it taste? We'll wait for the score tomorrow.
I have no idea. Mac and cheese, lobster mac and cheese, a kind of herb stuffing.
I need to go take
a
picture of my pumpkin sausage. Bread?
I'll take it.
Start over. Sorry, yeah. I cut you off. What is that again?
No, that's fine. Mac and cheese, lobster mac and cheese, and a stuffing that has some wild mushrooms and sausage in it.
Stuffing.
A couple different things. And then easier stuff, a corn casserole. It's like a cornbread, but it's like almost like a corn pudding sort of thing. That's super easy. The rest of the stuff is easy. The stuff that was harder was rolling out the, you're right. The pie is a pain in the freaking ass to me because we're making the dough from scratch too. That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely rewarding, but like if I'm going into a bakery, I just know that they're going to dominate the pie better than me personally could, but it sounds like you've got it down over there. You and your daughter. Stuffing's interesting because you can get so weird with stuffing.
You need minimum three stuffings at Thanksgiving.
You can put fruit in stuffing. You can put meat and stuffing. But you can do so many different things with stuffing where I hate to say it. If you're just eating bread stuffing, like you're not eating stuffing. You really got to get, there's got to be something else. It's got to be a little surprise in that stuffing.
Yeah.
That's my take on it anyways.
Yeah. So you definitely got to do that. You got to, like I said, I like three different stuffings. Laura's brother used to do a cornbread one, I believe. And then I would, I do this weird one. Yeah, those are good. It's different.
Are you guys hosting or are you just hauling all this stuff?
We're hauling a lot of it up to the in-laws. Hosting would be nice. Yeah. They're doing the turkey. We're doing most everything else, but we'll see. That's that.
How's the gravy over there? Because that's kind of key. I think gravy is kind of like MVP of the whole thing. It's just important.
I'm a non-gravy guy. I don't gravy.
I'm sorry. I think I just heard you say you don't
gravy. I don't gravy. I just like the stuff straight.
That is the most diabolical thing I think I've ever heard of in my life. I'm now questioning everything you just said.
I don't gravy. What?
Okay. Well,
it's too much. Right now. It's too much.
I'm stuck. What do you mean? It's too
much.
I don't
I don't drown food and shit. No, I just like.
I'm not asking you to drown it. I mean, just a little.
Dab, but I'm not.
You're just gonna eat white turkey. You're gonna choke. You're just gonna eat white turkey dry as a bone.
People are so mad. First of all, if you eat white turkey, that's your biggest problem. You should be eating.
Well, sometimes it's just. You're in the line and there it is.
I have written this is gravy. This is worse than Jalen slander. The gravy thing.
So good. I'm not going crazy then. I thought I was like the crazy one for a second, but no. Yeah, I mean, listen. Gravy, it's not even up for discussion. It's unbelievably important to the whole dish.
I've really let some people down.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to come over for Thanksgiving anymore. All these years I did, and now I just question everything.
You can still have gravy.
Well, if you don't value gravy, then it might not be that good.
I'm not that guy that puts the stuffing, the potatoes, and the turkey on the plate and then just pours a friggin' bucket of gravy over it all. I don't do that.
No, you just dump all your macaroni and cheese all over it all instead.
I just eat it.
Yeah, we all just eat it, but it's sometimes nice to just have a little... I'm trying to compare it to something. I mean, it's like chicken and ranch or something. You know, sometimes you just want to have a little bit of something.
Not a sauce. I don't drown. I don't. I like
or a salad. Food. It's like salad dressing. You need salad dry too?
Maybe a little olive oil. I don't need a lot salad. Of dressing on it either.
Okay. Hey, listen, everyone should be able to enjoy Thanksgiving the way they want to enjoy it. And if you want to borderline on choking on your turkey, then that's totally up to you. That's totally up to you.
I finally got one non-gravy fan in here.
Have dinner together sometime, just you two. Nobody else would want to come.
It's just buckets of water.
I'm glad I asked. I learned something new about you today. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
so I mean, I guess it's my MVP. Certainly it's not your MVP. Thoughts on cranberry sauce? A lot of people hate cranberry sauce.
It's fine. And it's basically putting jelly on your food.
Well, here's the thing. I'll do Ocean Spray cranberry sauce, but don't ask me to eat like your homemade cranberry sauce because I don't think I'm going to like it. I'll do Ocean Spray, though, all day, every day. I'll just eat it straight up out of the can. Everyone gets a can.
The can that just thunks out.
Yeah.
It's gross.
No. At least get
cranberries. You can buy cranberry sauce in a can that has whole cranberries in it, and it like isn't just jelly.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things, but the jelly kind is still pretty good. Make me low class. I think a lot of people like the Ocean Spray cranberry sauce.
I'll eat homemade cranberry sauce. I'm not eating that friggin' can that has the can grooves in it.
Yeah, so you've had some. clearly you know what we're talking
about. I see it. I don't eat it.
And again, cranberry sauce, it's an accessory to the plate. It shouldn't consume any more than like 1/10 of your plate. It's just there to almost dress it up a little bit. But again, that's something, John, I'm surprised, because if you don't have gravy with your turkey, I thought for sure you'd be like, no, I'll have cranberry sauce. Like,
I don't eat white meat for the most part. I'm almost always eating the dark meat. It does not require gravy.
Dark meat's good.
I will occasionally use a little gravy on mashed potatoes, never on stuffing. That's as far as I go. The stuffing does not need it.
You get the old turkey leg.
You guys
the
are cooking
leg
your
for
food
dad.
Wrong if you got to drown it in gravy. I'm sorry, folks.
You don't drown it. You just... have it. You just a little drizzle.
Make better food, everyone. All of you gravy files. You know,
but gravy. You make gravy out of the turkey, like out of the juice. You can make good gravy out of that.
I use gravy if somebody botched the turkey. That's when I use gravy. That's when I rely on gravy.
Wow, that's like if you ask an Italian to like pass the salt. Like that's like the same equivalent. If you ask the person who made the turkey, like, I need more gravy because it's so dry. That's the equivalent. You never ask an Italian to pass the salt.
Yeah. What's funny is people say, like, I lack taste in this. No, I like the taste of the actual food without having to destroy it by pouring friggin' flour and stuff all over it. I mean, it's just...
Oh, my God. Hey. Anyway. We unlocked something today that we didn't know about you.
I've upset a lot of people, but I have to go make some other food that's going to be good enough to not have to put gravy on.
Okay. You're gravy shaming. So you're gravy shaming. You're gravy shaming now. Anyone who uses gravy is eating a shitty meal tomorrow, according to John Zanis. Remember that tomorrow, everybody. When you're passing the gravy, just remember John Zanis thinks your meal sucks. He wouldn't eat it.
I didn't say that.
You wanted to say that. It's not true, though.
And I don't eat pizza without toppings, but any pizza with more than two toppings is too many toppings.
Wow. Sorry. A lot of food takes. I had pizza tonight. Shout out Tripoli's, my favorite pizza in, I would say, like, the Massachusetts, northeastern Massachusetts. It's beach pizza, but it's kind of a tradition here. We always get Tripoli's, like, the night before because we're not cooking. So shout out Tripoli's. But we don't do anything but extra provolone. When you get beach pizza, you have to get extra cheese on top of it because they just don't give you enough cheese. You have to get an extra slice of provolone. So that's what we did tonight.
Next year.
Got our first stick to sports. Thank you, Cam.
Thanks,
you're new to the show.
Thank you,
Cam. You're new to the show. Yep. Hey, give it up for Cam. He wants to talk about sports forever and only sports.
Sports.
Sports will be on all day tomorrow. Football. It's like the worst football that you can imagine tomorrow. We're ending with the Patriots, which is just the, gravy on, which is John's gravy on top. Hey, be careful. I might jump on. Hey, I might just mess around and jump on for the Pats post game.
I might ask you to come on. We'll just do drunk, angry post for 15 minutes tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so we're done. Thank you guys for hanging out. We are thankful for all of you, even though a lot of you are mad right now.
I'm thankful for everybody who gave John a piece of their mind.
Yeah, let me have it. I don't care. I can take it. But we do appreciate you guys. We are thankful. We hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. And we're back on Friday, so it's not going to be too long until we see you guys again. Enjoy your gravy-filled days tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving. Lounging in front of the TV on the couch, ignoring your weird uncle, and hopefully you guys can make it through tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
That's
Thank you, guys. That's pretty much it. Last shout out, our two sponsors. Again, we want to tell you one more time because you can definitely check them out. Where are they?
calm.com.
Nope, I need the
garden banners.
Oh, Athletic Greens, athleticgreens.com/garden. Free 1 year supply of vitamin D. Fire-free travel pucks, AG1, 75 vitamins, minerals, one scoop of water. Take care of all of your health needs. That's how you start your day, how you finish it after tomorrow. And you're friggin' bloated and salty.
And you're watching
the Pats
and they're just pissing you off.
And you're watching the friggin' Pats play like a 3-3 game into the fourth. Yeah. You know, and you're take calm, bring yourself
barely
down.
Hanging on. You're like one eye open.
Calm.com/garden. Receive 40% off a premium subscription. Check it out. Again, Celtics win this one. That is where we began.
It's a Celtics podcast. That's right.
Celtics won, blowout, impressive win. Nice to see them get back on track after a really uneven performance against Chicago. It makes you forget that, you know, it washes the stank away pretty quick, which is nice.
It justifies a one-off is what it does.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What it does. It justifies a one-off. Yeah.
You see it twice. You see it three times. You start thinking, I don't like it. But they got rid of it quick, went back to what they were doing that was working so well. Friggin' awesome. So, again, Celtics win.
We got Cam back. I just wanted to say shout out
Cam. Cam with a super chat. Thank you guys.
We like you again, Cam. We like you again.
We liked him before.
He
threw this take out here 2 minutes ago, but then paid to get it out here again. Fine.
He's tweaking. Right. John is tweaking. He's right. I shout out Cam. I'm on team Cam right now, man.
Anyway, thanks guys. We're gonna wrap it up.